guys, welcome back to the Daily Actor Podcast. I'm Lance Carter, and in this episode, I'm talking with Marissa Coughlin and Matt Bomer, the stars of Space Station 76. The movie is a comedic drama about a group of people and some robots living on a space station in a 1970s version of the future. When a new assistant captain arrives, she inadvertently ignites tensions among the crew, prompting them to confront their darkest secrets just as a dangerous asteroid heads right for them. The film, which was directed by Jack Plotnick, also stars Patrick Wilson, Liv Tyler, and Jerry O'Connell. I talked to Matt and Marissa with another reporter from Broadway World at South by Southwest. We talked about Space Station 76, watching themselves on screen, some horrible auditions, and they're pretty bad, and their advice to actors. Daily Actor has a whole new look. Check it out when you get a chance. Also, while you're there, if you need a website, casting director, mailing labels, career coaching, list of headshot photographers in your area, we've got that covered. Check it out on dailyactor.com. And now, here's Matt and Marissa.
Have you seen this
movie? Hey, honey.
Hi.
How are you?
Have I seen the full movie?
Like the finish?
No, I saw a very early cut.
You did. Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen any special effects. I haven't seen any sound effects. I haven't seen any ADR lines.
Yeah, I know.
Have you?
No. I saw right when you did, basically, and I haven't seen it.
That's only going to make tonight all the more exciting.
Lots of asteroids and whatnot that have been added in the interim. Right.
Do you guys like to watch yourself?
Oh, my wife.
Which is hilarious by my
we
awful,
tried,
hateful
honey.
Wife in the movie.
We tried.
This is like,
I tried to make you happy.
Totally unrealistic that he would like me this much.
I tried to fix everything. It just didn't work.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
Good. Not bad. Not hungover, which is awesome.
Good, I know. Yeah. I made a real
I wish I could say the same.
Really?
Can't say the same.
I have a hard time with, like, free booze.
I know,
I can't
right?
say, and free food. I
yeah.
can't say no to either.
Were you realizing?
Then, are you an actor?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I can relate.
I gotta fill up when I can. Do you guys like to watch yourself on screen? Like when, like your movies and stuff like that. I mean, do you cringe when you see
yourself?
It'd
be hilarious. Someone, I love it. There's yeah. nothing better than a great Marissa Coughlin performance.
Just no, letting her nuance. Yeah, that tactic worked.
Yeah. Nailed
that,
that
objective,
one,
girl. Yeah. I think it gets, you know. You always hope you're involved enough in the story that you can sort of remove your ego from the equation and sort of try to see the story objectively. But it's difficult, you know? And certain jobs, maybe it's easier than others.
This one is, like, a little easier because it is such its own world. It's not just, like, a random episode of a TV show or something. It means, like, we're on a spaceship. We're in the... I mean, it is, like, a world. So you do get to kind of escape into it a little bit, but I typically find it difficult to watch myself.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
Tell us a little bit more about the movie. Who you guys play?
Well, what I responded to about this movie was the whole idea of suburban duality, having grown up in the suburbs myself, and, you know, space was this sort of, gave it this sense of alienation. But having that idea that if we just live on the right space station, if we do the right thing, our lives are going to be perfect and everything's going to be great, we won't have any problems. And then it's like one of those great John Cheever short stories from the, near that time period where everyone's shadow starts to slowly bubble to the surface and you see their inner demons come to light. Having grown up in the suburbs myself, I really responded to that. And I play Ted, who is married to Misty and is a mechanic, and he, you know, very much wants to fix things. And he's one of those people who just, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. He wants to do the right thing, is really trying to create the right life for his wife, and it's just circumstantially just not going his way.
And you're kind of bitter.
I am. I mean, what I liked about it with the character, you don't necessarily totally get what's going on with my character right away. Like, I kind of maybe seem like a nice wife and a nice mom, and then it doesn't take long before you're like, oh no, she's a horrible human being. She is awful.
In Misty's defense, though, I think Ted made a lot of promises to her. I think, you know, having come from Earth, which is probably not a very desirable place to live at this point in the
fictitious
past,
world that we're
past.
In.
You know, he probably had to kind of work his way up from some, and still is in kind of some blue-collar ranks. And You know, I think he probably promised Misty a lot of things that just have not come to fruition.
This is true. This is true. But I think she probably was hoping for a lot of material things. She's not terribly.
I mean, how else could I ever be with someone this high?
Yeah, right, right.
Promise her. Yeah, the false things.
It's really off balance, isn't it? He's so unattractive. It's hard to look at.
And your daughter, the little girl that played her, was
spectacular. She's working more than anyone I know since the movie wrapped. By the way, she's not here because she's working. Wow. She literally works nonstop.
She's from my hometown of Spring, Texas, which is a couple hours away. But she was the most consummate professional I've ever worked with. She was just a fun little girl skipping down the hall, and then the cameras would roll. She'd nail it on the first take, and she was done.
And it was like crying and sobbing, and it was just like, ding, she'd turn it on and be done, and be happy to less than 30 seconds later. She's phenomenally talented.
Yeah. They tell you, don't work with children or animals, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about her at all.
Yeah, she's a darling girl.
I worked with a little girl once on some TV show, and I would say something that was a cut, and she was like, "You said the wrong word."
Really?
Said, oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
She was slippery slope with some child actors, but she's maintaining her. Yeah.
She was the line police.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
There's always one. She's always great. It's Anne. Not but. On conjunction. Yeah.
You know,
she was not that way. This
no,
way.
No, not. She's so normal, little
cool. Okay, good. You know, the film looked so, like the set looked so stylized, and it reminded me of when I was a kid. I used to watch that Space 1999.
Yeah.
Sort of, everything was sort of roundish, and does that help? You know, when you're sort of trying to get a character or whatever.
Oh yeah, all of it does. Yeah. We had amazing wardrobe. I mean, our hair. We all had like onesies, basically, like giant leotards and. But the world was so specific and unique that you do, like I said before, you just sort of lose yourself in it. And it, this is Seth Green, right? He created the sets. It's such a phenomenal job and made it really
either
feel.
Created the sets or Robot Chicken.
Wait, Seth?
I don't know.
We're going to get it for
we'll
you.
Get it right.
We'll get it right for you.
Jack is
IMDb.
You're possibly right about Robot Chicken.
It reminded me so much of the Nostromo from Alien, both in the sort of brighter lit upper quarters, although our movie is obviously lit a lot brighter, and then the lower depths where Ted works. And
pretty bleak down there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I grew up loving that movie, and I used to pretend like my house was a ship, and I would push a button and the door would rise and all that stuff. So it was kind of getting to live out a fantasy that way.
Do you guys like doing this, like press like this? Because I interviewed you once at WonderCon, I think.
Yes.
Like getting together with like sort of like coming out of town. I guess WonderCon's not really out of town.
It's fun. It's nice because we shot the movie a while ago. It's nice to have a little reunion and see all your peeps. And it's nice to be out of town in a way because you kind of do get to go to dinners and all hang out for a little weekend away. We both have small children, so I'll take a weekend away.
Yeah.
It's grown ups. Not gonna lie.
Getting to sleep until 7 o'clock was
really nice. Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, this is amazing.
What's like one of the worst auditions you guys have been on?
I have to pick just one.
I know.
I had an experience where I was testing for a high profile job and the casting director's cell phone went off in the middle of the big emotional scene. And it was a very, you know, you always want to stay in the pocket of what you're doing, but I didn't really know what to do at the time because I was like, do I address the situation?
Do I address this in character as I'm weeping?
Do I ask to start over? Do I stop? Does she even take that?
She didn't answer, did she?
Is it the guy who's going to get this job calling?
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
I had one where I was testing. I was up for the first Anchorman. And my agent called me, and she was like, it's amazing, they loved you, so just go in. It's between, like, you're one of the person, you're really, really close. They're looking for Christina Applegate types. And I was like, first of all, how do you like, can we just channel Christina Applegate? I don't know what that means. But I was like, okay, great, I'll be there. So do you know who the other girl is? She goes, yeah, it's Christina Applegate. And I was like, it's not looking good for me. I got to be honest. Don't feel this is very promising.
She should not have given you that information.
She's probably the best type for the Christina Applegate.
Right, I feel like Christina Applegate's gonna nail it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She's got a little bit of a leg up on me for that one. Yeah. But there's a long list of them, I feel.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You could sit here for 8 hours and I could regale you. When I used to go for commercials, did you ever go for commercials?
Mm-hmm.
Those are bad because they're like, pretend the Skittles are falling from the sky and you're dancing and then like a rainbow god lands on your head. You're like, what? What am I doing? You know what I mean?
That's an exercise in just pure imagination, though. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, casting commercial auditions are the worst.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're demoralizing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. I had a casting director yell at me once. I had to catch a ball, and they threw the ball like this way, so I moved to catch the ball, and they're like, "You're out of the camera. Get back." And I was just, all right, game over.
Yeah. Wow.
You guys have done any live theaters?
Yes.
Not in a while.
I did a one-night only thing on Broadway a couple years ago of Eight, which was a play about Proposition 8.
Okay, I did hear that.
And, I guess the last run of a play I did was at Williamstown a few years ago. And then I just performed in London.
What did you do
there? It was just a benefit for a friend.
Cool.
I know you just said you have little kids, so I would imagine it would be completely hard to do a show. You know, like pack up and go to New York or stuff, you know.
Well, I'm already in New York 6 months out of the year for the show, so commuting home every week.
Yeah, yeah.
And the idea, you know, I've talked to people about getting to do a play, which I would love to do, but I kind of have to wait until the show's done. Because to do that and then also commute on my Monday, if I did a show afterwards, would be really
rough. And it's nights and weekends and, I don't know, that's when they're home.
Holidays.
You know, it's like, it's too, I have 3 under 5, so I can't.
Ooh.
I have a little window before I'm going to be doing any theater.
I would like to do a play again in the next couple of years, for sure.
Play or musical?
Play.
Why so specifically?
I don't know. I guess there are plays that I would like to do. That's what comes to mind. I think I would like to do 8 times a week.
Right.
But I'm sure there are great musicals out there as well. It's just not what immediately pops into mind.
Do you have something in mind? What would you love to play?
I would love to do some Odets or Williams. I'd love to do like Rocket to the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any advice to actors? Kind of in general, not like, you know.
It depends where they are, but from my experience, it's tenacity is at least half the battle, because there are so many points that I was like, I just can't do this. This is so exhausting, and like, it's just a lot. And then all of a sudden something happens and your whole career changes, and it's so much fun and wonderful. And I look back on those moments and I'm so glad I didn't give up. But I see a lot of people who have walked away, and I'm like, it's an exercise in hanging on through a lot of ups and downs.
Back on the horse.
Yeah, you really have to be pretty damn thick-skinned.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also, you know, a friend of mine said, like, your worst day in show business is better than most people in terms of their jobs, you know, best days. Because we get to do a lot of amazing things, but you pay the price with all the ups and downs. But it is, what she said is true, that I don't think I was cut out to I like the ups and downs in a lot of ways, you know. But it's you got to be pretty prepared for that. What's your advice?
I echo all those things. And also at the same time, really try to remember why you wanted to do it in the first place and what kind of artist you wanted to be and what kind of stories you wanted to tell, so that when the opportunities do present themselves, and should you ever be fortunate enough to have a choice or be able to get in an audition for a specific project, is to remember who you are as an artist and what made you want to tell stories in the first place.
Along those lines, I have better advice than my other advice. That I started writing. I've become a writer. I've been doing it for the past like maybe 5 years. But you're in opportunities, because I'm so mad. I had the inclination to do it 10 years, no, more than that ago, and I just didn't. I, you know, honestly, I told myself, oh, you're probably not a writer. You're probably not this enough. Probably not that enough. And then I finally started 5 years ago, and now I've had like more success doing that and creating things than I have not. You know, it's really been amazing for me, and it's empowered me in so many ways. And like he was saying about the things that drew you to this business, it's not just necessarily being a cog in a wheel and telling someone else's story. It's telling the stories that that are native to you, mm-hmm. you know? And so every actor I meet, I'm like, oh my God, you're 20? Start writing right now. And, you know, you could make your, with the way things
or
have changed.
Or getting the rights to
yes,
you
exactly.
Want.
You can do anything. You put yourself on YouTube.
Yeah, totally.
You can create your own medium, which you couldn't do not so long ago. So I would empower people to do that. Because it's...
So is that your backup plan? Would that be your backup
I don't know
plan?
If it's my backup plan or my main plan, to be honest, because I think it gets...
It's your co-plan.
It's my co-plan. Yeah. They're right here.
I guess we have time for one question. Okay, then we got to wrap it up. So did you have a backup plan?
Did I have a backup plan?
Is this it for you?
No, I didn't have a backup plan. I got my degree in college is a Bachelor in Fine Arts, so...
I think if you have a backup plan, you probably should
sold,
do that. Because this,
scripts,
you have to be, like,
yeah.
in it. You have to be like, this is my plan.
I've sold pilots that I've written and things like that, so I guess I wrote as well. And, you know, always tried to stay creative in some way. Mm-hmm. I think that there was one time in my career where I was, you know... certainly having kind of a dark night of the soul because I wanted to tell stories that affected people and I wasn't necessarily given that opportunity. And then when I started to create my own opportunities, things started to turn around for me. So.
You guys seem so busy. How do you find time to actually write?
She can carry a toddler, breastfeed, and write a script at the same time.
Actually, not that far from the truth. Ask my husband and my best friend.
I'm sure.
You cannot be a heady writer who sits around and obsesses over a sentence. Mm-hmm. You crank out 10 pages in an hour while they're napping, and you hope it's good.
Yeah.
I definitely have never had the luck, because I started writing basically when I started having
Ernest
kids.
Ernest Hemingway would have had a hard time.
Yes. I cannot. I'm not a super neurotic writer. I am to a degree, but I can't be the slow neurotic type. I crank it out.
Thanks, Matt and Marissa, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. That's how we keep this website alive. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.